WHYY is proudly supported by Penn Medicine. From groundbreaking discoveries to life-saving care, Penn Medicine's innovation is helping to change lives, one moment, one treatment, one patient at a time.
The business pages are full of unfamiliar corporate names these days, and not all of them are startups. More and more corporations are getting themselves linguistic makeovers. Is all of this name-changing good for business? Our linguist Jeff Nunberg isn't sure.
When General Electric's legendary CEO Jack Welch retires in a few months, the business press will be full of tributes to the man who took a sleepy electrical products company and turned it into the corporation with the world's largest market value. One thing he probably won't get credit for, though, is for having had the sense not to change the company's name in the process. You can see where this would have been a temptation. After all, light bulbs and appliances are only a small part of the GE business now, which includes everything from financial services to truck leasing to NBC. And it isn't as if Welch has shown exquisite linguistic instincts up and down the line. After all, this is a corporation that labeled its famous quality control program with the name Six Sigma, which sounds like something L. Ron Hubbard would have come up with. But something told Welch to lay off the name General Electric. But for every old economy company that hangs on to its name, like GE or Caterpillar or Minnesota Mining and Manufacturing, there seem to be five that are pitching it over the side. Sometimes the changes make sense when there's a merger or when the old name acquires some unfortunate associations. A year after the ValueJet crash that killed 100 people, the company bought a small carrier called AirTrans and painted that name on all their planes. And after Johns Manville paid out a couple of billion dollars to settle asbestos claims in the 80s, they decided to lay low for a while under the name the Schuller Corporation, before going back to Johns Manville about 3 years ago when the dust had cleared. But most of the new corporate names are just an attempt to liven up a tired brand with a little linguistic nip and tuck. And in fact, you see a lot of perfectly healthy companies doing this in the same spirit with which they roll out a new advertising campaign every couple of years. The one thing you can be sure of is that whatever the reason for picking the new corporate name, it will be more fanciful and less descriptive than the old one. This might be simply a consequence of the outsourcing process. When you pay a couple of $100,000 to a corporate identity consultant with a gaggle of linguists and marketing specialists on its staff, you don't expect them to come back with the suggestion that you call yourself U.S. Tanks and Boilers. You want syllables that buzz with the promise of marketing magic. You go from International Harvester to Navistar, Advanced Medical to Alaris, Interregional Financial Group to Intera. The trouble is that these new names can tend to blur, particularly since they give you no sense at all of what a company actually does. Take Agilent, the name that Hewlett-Packard created when it spun off its original core business of making measurement devices and instrumentation. Evidently, the idea was to suggest agility, but that's not a feature you tend to look for in an oscilloscope. More like what you want in a roofer. Mainly, the object seems to have been to come up with one of those trendy adjectival names that end in ent and ant, names like telligent, sapient, viant, naviant. There are fashions in these things, the way there are fashions in the names of retail stores. One year, everything's trouser shack and umbrella shack. The next year, they've all turned into huts. The year after that, they're back as marts. The fact is that for all they talk about brand differentiation, corporate identity consultants are basically herd animals. It seems as if 80% of high-tech startups get their names from the same formula. They take a prefix like digi, inter, or info, tack on a suffix like vision, cast, or web, and throw in a non-conventional spelling or capitalization to show they're not trammeled by the orthographic orthodoxies of the old economy. Not surprisingly, the nondescript conformism of new corporate names has sparked a reaction. The latest fashion among technology startups is for names that have a homespun, funky feel. Red Hat, Red Back, Blue Pumpkin, Tumbleweed, Razorfish. It can be hard to tell the software companies from the microbreweries. You think of a bunch of Gen Xers sitting around in a loft in T-shirts and Converse sneakers, kids who are so ahead of the curve that they can call themselves whatever they damn well please. But like any bandwagon, this one is easy enough for old economy firms to jump onto. Bluelight.com, for example, turns out to be the name the Kmart people picked for their new e-commerce site. Attention, Blue Light shoppers. It doesn't ring right at the moment, but it will in time. It's getting to the point where corporations change their names as readily as they introduce new product brands. And inevitably, the process tends to feed on itself. It's a curious phenomenon of the modern marketplace that the more corporations spend on branding their products or themselves, the more brand loyalty diminishes. Stockholders, employees, consumers, they're all more fickle than they used to be. Only a sap holds on to a position for the long haul. And if the new names don't work out, they're a lot easier to replace than something that's been monogrammed on your table linen for 50 or 100 years. I started to have some hope about a year or two ago when WMX Technologies went back to its old name of Waste Management Incorporated. Now that's a fine, descriptive old economy name. Garbage is us. The only trouble is that the stock is still in the dumps.
Jeff Nunberg is a linguist at Stanford and the Xerox Palo Alto Research Center.